thank you for this family, Lord, that when we come into this place, we know that we're not alone. That whatever we face in life, that we have our brothers and sisters by our side, with us through the good times and the bad, Lord. So, Father, I pray that this morning that we would encourage one another, Lord, that the gifts that you've given us, that we would be looking to share those gifts. We would be looking to encourage one another, looking for opportunities to build one another up, to build your church up. And so, Father, I pray that we would minister to one another, but also, Lord, that as we come, we recognize that we carry with us our own needs, only needs that you can fulfill by your hand. So, Lord, we pray that in your mercy and grace, Lord, that you would minister to hearts this morning. That, Father, that you would give us exactly what it is that you know that we need. And that, Father, that your presence would fill this place. That we would experience the living God this morning. I pray in the worship, God, as the Gallaghers lead us this morning, that we would look to you, look to the King. No matter our need, no matter our circumstance or situation, Lord, that we would look to you and that you would bring peace to our hearts and to our lives. So we pray for your supernatural peace to reign in your house this morning. Lead the service, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Harmony. I think I know everybody out there, so you're still welcome. So I think we'll get you to stand for this first worship song, and then you can take yourself down or you can do whatever you need to do. We're going to bless the Lord, though.
Praise the name.
my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Folks to preach to, amen. This morning, it's been the last couple of weeks. Now, last week I was at the Tamil Church in Bell's Corners, and we had a great time there with our Tamil friends. And but what we're doing is starting a series. I actually started 2 weeks ago. Maybe I'll get online and preach it, because it was a small crowd that Sunday as well. But doing a series on the 12 blessings of Israel. That's me, the church. And you too, by the way, if you know Jesus. All right, I just like hogging it for myself. And so we looked at Reuben, the first tribe, and now we're looking at Levi. And so going from this book by a Tamil pastor, actually, on the 12 tribes, and Levi, the blessing today is, there you are, blessed are those who stand up for the Lord, for their curse will be turned into a blessing. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, that ask, O God, that You, Lord, would give us the wisdom, Lord, to receive the blessing that is for Your people, the church. Lord, to receive and to walk in the things that are available to us. Lord, Your covenant of grace is so wonderful, but Lord, You ask us to do things. And so, Father, we just pray that we would be faithful today. In Jesus' name, amen. A young woman was born in the Ottawa Valley in a wonderful Christian home. Her grandpa was a preacher, started churches. He was a gentleman farmer and preacher, but he started churches and was faithful. They read the Bible every day. Opened up the Bible. Read it, Grandpa did. Then when Grandpa was gone, great-grandpa, then Grandpa, then her father was also an elder in the church and continued on the custom of faithful attendance at the house of God. Because in those days, weather didn't matter much, because the little one-room church wasn't that far away anyways. And if the car wouldn't make it, well, the horse and cutter would. So you got to church. But she made a mistake, I guess you might say that. She fell in love with a rough family guy. Guy that wasn't really following the Lord. He went to church a little bit there, but anyways, we call that in our stage and understanding an unequal yoke. He made all kinds of promises. She fell for it, and she married him. So, shouldn't have done that, and that brings on a lot of problems. Years of alcoholism and abuse, and some horrific beatings, and some terrible things. But they had a son and a daughter. Both of them came to serve the Lord, and when that son was born, that man took that young lad up to their grandpa, who knew the Lord, and he held him up and said, "This is my tithe of my first grandchild, my first grandson. I give him to the ministry." And if you haven't figured it out yet, that's me, and I'm talking about my mom. And I would say that my mother is blessed. She's in a retirement home that her daughter owns. that the family owns. And because of God's blessing and prospering and taking care of us and hard work, of course, but she's sitting there and she's enjoying a view of Lake Huron out of her big bay window. Right now it doesn't look a whole lot much, but but you know, it's there's a lighthouse here and there's, you know, there's islands and it's right there. So that's like a picture, postcard right there. God has blessed her. And because she was faithful, because she took a stand for the Lord here and there, because she refused to give in, refused to do what others might do in other circumstances, and did the Christian thing. You may have heard of that. The Christian thing? I got to do the Christian thing. Well, actually, it's the Bible thing. And God will bless it, even if everyone else tells you to do something different. And so, I use that as a beginning in this sermon here on Levi, because Levi started out with a curse and ended up with a blessing. His actions brought a curse into his life, but also the actions of his descendants brought a blessing into his life. And the blessing overcame the curse. And God can do that for each and every one of you, no matter what your decisions you have made in the past. Don't let your past dictate your future. But the past things that have happened to you, they can be turned around into a blessing. Joseph is one in mind where his brothers, and of course these 12 tribes represent the 12 brothers of Joseph, Joseph being included in them, but you know, where they sold him into slavery. We talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, but you know how that God, Joseph said this to them. He says, you know, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around. God meant it for good. God turned this around. Because here I am, the prime minister of Egypt, and I'm able to help my family. I'm able to do things for my family. It started off really bad, but God turned it around for good, and God can do that in your life. Amen? Does someone want to receive that already? Because that's a good thing. Amen? Turning your curses into blessings. Jacob had 12 sons. We know the story. I don't want to repeat a whole lot about it. And they became the 12 tribes of Israel. And on his deathbed, Jacob blessed, quote unquote, he gave his blessing to his 12 sons. And some of you, if you were in his situation or were the children or the sons of Jacob, who was then called Israel, you would say, Dad, I would prefer to pass on or pass by my blessing, because they weren't all blessings. Some of them were curses. And then it came to Levi, basically, there was nothing much good that he had to say about his son Levi. And so Jacob, I'm just doing this for time, Jacob, he cursed his son. And thanks a lot, Dad, but he said, basically, he said, you shall receive no inheritance. You will be scattered amongst all the land of that is promised to us. You'll not have a piece of ground. I'm not giving you a piece of ground. You're not going to get a piece of ground. And your descendants aren't going to get a piece of ground. Take that. Now, why was Jacob so mean to his son? Well, it goes back, he says in his blessing, and I use the italics, his blessing, he said, because he was an angry young man. Yeah, but Dad, that was a long time ago. But something had happened in Levi's life, and Genesis 34 talks about it. In Genesis chapter 34, there is a story of how that, not a Hevite. There's the Hittites and the Hevites. You got to keep them separate. All right? So there's a Hevite king. And brother Jacob's got his 12 sons, and he's got their families, and he's got his flocks, and he's got his stuff, and he's trying to get along with the neighbors. Amen? You all have to get along with your neighbors, especially when you use the same water hole. Amen? Especially when you use the same pasture land. Especially when you use the same materials. So you got to get along with your neighbors. And so he was living amongst the neighborhood, and when they kind of traveled around at this particular point in Genesis chapter 34, they were in the land of the Hivites. And the Hivite king had a son named Shechem. Can't remember what the Hivite king was. Haram? But anyways. And the son Shechem looked upon the daughter of... The girls don't get mentioned too much unless something bad happens. All right, sorry about that, ladies. But you hear about the 12 tribes, but you didn't realize that he also had daughters. And so anyways, there's a daughter, Dinah. And the Hivite prince looked upon Dinah and said, that's good. And I don't know whether or not it was consensual or not, because the scriptures don't tell us, but normally if it was not consensual, it would have said just the way it was, but we don't know. I mean, here's a young man. We're in the living in a Me Too movement age, so I have to be careful, but here's a young man, the prince, and he is a man of authority. He's a man of wealth, a man of influence in his community, and so whatever he does, anyways, he ends up sleeping with Dinah. And the Bible says that he defiled her. Because, I don't know whether it was consensual or not, but let's just say this, it was wrong, because she was not married to him, because she was of another tribe. There's a lot of inter-tribal political stuff taking place. There had been no permission given. There had been no wedding, no whatnot. Anyways, but the boy comes clean. He says to his dad, because he gets found out, and dad is not too happy with his son because he slept with a woman without being married to that woman, which is still, of course, God's law today. And dad says, we got to make this right with these neighbors of ours. And so the son says, Dad, I want to make it right. I love her. And it says right there that he loved her. He says, we were young, we were excited. You know what happens? You were all young once, long time ago, remember? And maybe you're just now old and foolish, and so you still understand, but that's fine. He said, I want to make it right. I want to marry the girl. I want to take her in marriage. And listen, let's make a deal with brother Jacob. Let's with the neighbors here. Let's give a dowry. Let's give them money. Let's set it up. I want to make this right. I want to go back, and I want to make this right, and I want to do it the way it should be. And so anyways, his dad, who was the king of the Hivites, went to Jacob and said, listen, we did wrong. We got to make this right. Are you willing to make this right? Jacob, it says he was a little scared, a little nervous, because they were greater than his people. There was more of the Hivites than there was of his family, of course. And so Jacob made a deal. He said, listen, we'll forget about the whole thing. We'll forget about my daughter being defiled, and you may get not too happy with Jacob in the way that they did things back then. He says, it was wrong what he did, but listen, we're going to make it right. I'll accept your proposal of marriage. I accept the dowry. I accept. We'll live together. It says they decided we will live together in peace. Levi goes, that young bugger got away with it. He defiled my sister. And so he went and got a hold of his brother Simeon, and they went over there, and they went to young Shechem. He says, there's a part of the deal that Dad didn't tell you about. What's that? He says, if you're going to marry her, you've got to get circumcised. Now, these aren't babies. These are 20-some-year-old or 30-some-year-old men. So anyways, they say, well, you know, okay, that's part of the deal. Listen, he said, if it's part of the deal between, you know, the back then, you know, our word actually meant something. If it's part of a deal, it's part of a deal. We're going to get circumcised. Yeah, but also all of your fighting men have to get circumcised too. Okay, well. So anyway, so they gather all the fighting men. So they circumcise them all. And then Levi and Simeon, when the guys are got circumcised and they're all sore, because I don't know if they had anybody around that knew how to do it right. And anyways, they came in and they slaughtered them all. They murdered them. And they said, that's for defiling our sister. And some of us could say, well, I understand the young men, their sister. I mean, you have to understand, in those days, and even not well, friends, I grew up in those days where to be involved sexually was something that was for marriage. I know I'm in 2019, friends, but listen, growing up, it was a pretty, you know, someone got pregnant, especially, you know. I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying that's the way it was. And you can imagine thousands of years ago, this is the way it was. And so this young, he said, well, I understand Levi. I would have done the same thing, or I can understand why he went and did it. But listen, the problem was it came back. And so what happened was that the neighborhood said, the word of Jacob doesn't mean anything. Jacob said, I gave my word. And you were hot-headed and angry. And although what you did was because you were trying to defend the honor of your sister, but I made a deal with them. And you see, he said, because he made a deal with them, because his honor, because of his name. You know, the Bible says in the Proverbs says that a good name is better than gold or riches. Did you know that? A good reputation, a good name. And he says, listen, my name is no good because amongst the Hivites, because it looks like your dad broke their word. Looks like your dad sent you out to slaughter them. Looks like your dad did this. And so for the rest of his life, he remembered that. And on his deathbed, many, many years later, decades later, he curses Levi and says, you ain't getting nothing. All right. And so years later, Moses, you know the story. They went into captivity in Egypt and the whole story. They come out into the desert. They're set free. And here we are, Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 33. You knew there'd be a scripture verse somewhere. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 8 to 11, we have the blessing of Moses. Let's read that blessing. I'll tell you a little interesting story about Deuteronomy. I was in New Brunswick, and before we had cell phones and whatever else, you know, my child was born in Chalmers Hospital. That is to say, my son Jeremiah. And I phoned home, you know, long distance. You know, there's no cross Canada, whatever. Then, you know, phone long distance from a pay phone, plugging in quarters. You know, I had enough money for one call from the Chalmers Hospital in Fredericton. And I knew my mother was at work and whatnot, so I called my grandpa. And I said, Grandpa, it's a boy. You know, you don't want to spend too much time on the phone back then. Long distance was now doesn't mean anything. It's a boy, and his knee's fine, and his name is Jeremiah. So, okay, Grandpa, you just pass the word along. Grandpa phones up the school where my mother was a teacher. He says, "It's a boy, he's fine, his name is Deuteronomy." He knew it was in the Bible. He knew it was in the Old Testament. So my mother, for half a day, was in her classroom crying because I named my child Deuteronomy. Oh, Bruce, what are you? Kind of crazy crack. Until she finally got home, and then she called me at home, and I said, no, it's Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah was pretty weird, but Deuteronomy's weird. So when she found it, it was actually the Lord, I think, did that, because when she found out it was Jeremiah, it was, oh, thank the Lord. You know, like, what do you call Deuteronomy? What's his nickname? Deutero or Duty or Doo-Doo or, I don't know. Anyways, okay, you weren't working when I was given that story. You're supposed to be looking up Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy chapter 33, he says this in verse 8, of Levi, and here's the blessing. Now, Moses isn't the dad to Israel, but he is. He's the spiritual father. And so just like is in the tradition of the Hebrews, when a father gives a blessing before he dies, it's more important than a reading of the will. You know, usually we do that after somebody dies. This is what they do before they die. And here Moses, he blesses all the tribes of Israel. He comes down, he's a spiritual dadding, so he blesses Levi. He says, verse 8, Levi, he said, let your Thurim and your Urim belong to your godly man. Oh, what on earth does that mean? Well, there were two stones, and these two stones sometimes were used to be able to discern the will of God. Okay, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but anyways, he was saying, listen, let your godly man hang on to these things. In other words, that you may know the will of God. You're the keepers of understanding the will of God. Pretty important thing, all right? Whom you have contributed the waters of Meribah. And said unto the father and mother, I did not consider them. He did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. What is he saying here? He's saying you took risks with your families to serve the Lord. You put the Lord first and your family second. You see, I don't know if they teach that in Bible college even, but they put the Lord first, your family second, and the church third. I understand that. He said, you took risks. Verse 10, and they shall teach your ordinances to Jacob and your law to Israel. In other words, he says, this group of guys, this group of Levites are going to be the ones who are going to teach the others. You shall put incense before you and the whole burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord. The Lord bless his substance and accept the work of his hands. Scatter the loins of those who raise up against him and those who hate him so that they will not rise up again. Okay, he's making some inferences there. What is he talking about? Here's what he was referring to. There was a day when it was pretty dark in Israel. Moses had gone up in the mountain. He got the Ten Commandments. Come on, you know Charlton Heston. Can you get Charlton Heston in your mind? Okay, can you see Charlton Heston coming down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments? And he gets down to the bottom there. What's going on? Oh, it's just awful. The people have kind of ramshackled his brother Aaron into making an idol for them. They went and got all the bits of gold that they got from earrings and everything from the captors of Egypt and boiled it down and melted it down, I guess you should say, and put it into a golden calf, and they were worshiping. In fact, they didn't have this because it would have been R-rated in the 1950s production of Moses or the Ten Commandments, but it says, and the people were naked before the idol. So Moses comes down the mountain, and he's got the Ten Commandments, and here is this mess. And so he says this in chapter 32, verse 26, and Moses stood at the gate of the camp. And he's pretty ticked. He says, who's on the Lord's side? Let them come now to me. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody that's on the Lord's side still? Is there anybody that's with me? Would anybody come? Whoever wants to come, whoever wants to be on the Lord's side. And the Bible says that all of the tribe of Levi came and surrounded him. They all came unto him. All the Levites came unto him. They risked their family. They risked their future. They risked their property. They risked their inheritance. They risked everything. Don't forget, it was one tribe out of 12, right? So these one guys, they came over, and they said, we're on the Lord's side. Moses said, good. Go amongst all the tribes of Israel and slaughter everybody that resists the Lord. And so it says that day 3,000. Were slaughtered. Now, that sounds like a pretty nasty thing, but anyways, Moses then, that's years and years and years later, he's standing there and he's reminded, listen, you guys, you stood up for the Lord. And so, it's interesting that when Moses gives his blessing, where did he give his blessing? He said that when he gave his blessing, he had returned to Mount Sinai. So here he is at Mount Sinai, and he is giving a blessing, and here is the Levites. He comes to the Levites, and Moses says, I remember, it was right here many years ago that you guys stood up for the Lord. I know you've been cursed by the father, our forefathers, Jacob, and I can't take that away. I can't remove that. This is old covenant understanding, okay? Your curse is that you will be scattered amongst the people of Israel. I know it's a curse, but listen, I'm going to turn it into a blessing because you guys are going to be the teachers in all of Israel. You're going to teach in all tribes. You're going to be the ones that are going to be the holy, that is to say, the holy guys, the priesthood of Israel. You're going to go amongst the people. Wherever you are is going to be a blessing to the people. Everybody's going to want to live next door to a Levite. Amen? Right? They're going to want to have a Levite. They're going to plow that Levite's laneway. Amen? Because the Levites amongst them are going to be a blessing to them, and so they're going to show favor upon the Levites. They're going to, when at sacrifice times, the Levites are going to take a portion of the meat. The Levites are going to, they're just going to do just fine, even though they haven't received an inheritance of the land. And so he turned the curse into a blessing. And he did it on the same place that they had stood up for the Lord. He turned the curse into a blessing. they were able to carry the presence of God. They were able to bring the tabernacle, that is to say, set up the tabernacle. They were able to bring the Ark of the Covenant. It was the Levites that were to carry those things. It was the Levites that got to handle the special stuff of God. It was the Levites that were able, even though they did not have land, even though they did not have that inheritance, they were able to draw close to the presence of God. He turned it around into a blessing. Too often we seek a blessing without a cost. But there can be no blessing without a cost. Levi, the tribe, risked its families, risked its future, as he says, as Moses says in chapter 33 when he pronounced the blessings. He said, you risked it, but you took a stand for God. Friends, where are the men of God today, especially, God bless you ladies, but where are the men who are taking a stand for the Lord? Well, I don't know. I might risk my job. I might risk my I might risk. Who is on the Lord's side? He said, then they came. There is a blessing for standing up for God that will return the curses in your life around into a blessing. Whatever you may have done in the past doesn't matter. Whatever mistakes you may have made doesn't matter. If you stand up for the Lord, He'll bless you. And He'll even turn the curses into blessings. You can't do that, but God can. I said, you can't do that, but God can. Amen? Blessed are those who stand up for the Lord, for their curse will be turned around into a blessing. I sang the hymn there, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers, others' lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? You know where I wrote this message? Where was I when I wrote this message? Where was I when I was reading the scripture? Where was I that I was so tired that I was humped, slumped over, crawled into this and whatnot, and finally got woke up by the Lord to work on this sermon? Where was I when I read? Oh, I'm in my father's old bedroom. Where his mistress was. He built a house for my mother down up in there, and he built one for his girlfriend, and I'm sitting there in my father's girlfriend's mistress's room, and I'm working on the sermon for this Sunday. It was a curse. We were so ashamed of my father that there was a time when I would take mother to church or visit or whatever else, and we headed to Lanark, and there only is one real good road to Lanark, the 511, the Calabogie Road. We would go take side roads around to avoid Balderson because it was such a shame to see that house. It was embarrassing. We couldn't look at it. I couldn't let my mother even see it. We had to just go around. It took a while. So she couldn't even go to her own church because it meant going past that house. And I remember one time when I was heading up to the house and I started having a panic attack because I was so ashamed. Because not only was my father's mistress in there, but they had an 8-foot liberal sign on the front lawn. Father said he loved the liberals because they were the most crooked and he could buy them. But you got to know me, all right? Our farm, you know, right there on the corner, and there's this big 8-foot liberal sign. I started having a, it's all the flesh, of course, not the spirit, it's just the flesh. You know, it's a fleshly reaction. I'm not saying it's godly, I'm just saying it was dumb, but, you know, here is the reaction. It's so ashamed, I had to turn around at Balderson Cheese and turn around and go back to Perth. Couldn't even make it up to Lanark that day. I was so embarrassed and ashamed. Now I got an 8-foot sign that says, Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me has everlasting life. God turned the curse into a blessing. in that room. And I don't want to get my head into that space, but you know, here I am working on my sermon. God can do it if you take a stand for Him. Do what's right. Stand up for the truth. There are things that are going on on the internet. My good American friends, God bless them, I love them, but you know, they're going all out upset because a governor in New York, if you follow to all the Facebook or the internet, you know, the governor of New York who's a Catholic, but he's made the most liberal abortion laws in America. We've had the same situation here for 31 years in Canada. We don't have any abortion law. Who's standing up for the defenseless? Who's standing up for those that cannot speak for themselves? That's just one of many issues. But who's going to stand up for the Lord? Say, well, I can't risk it. I can't risk it. We can't risk anything. We can't risk it. And he says, no, the blessing comes upon Levi because they risked their family. Because they risked their possessions. Because they risked their future. He says, I want to bless them. Towards the end of his life, I must move on. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. Now, if you want to remember back to the curse of Jacob in Levi, you know, it was actually chapter 34 that had happened, but in Genesis 49, you know, how that Jacob cursed his son. The challenge of it was the curse of Jacob, the blessing of, hey, this sounds like a three-point sermon. Oh, wow. By accident. The challenge, I should put 1, 2, and 3 there. The challenge of Joshua, he says to all the tribes, he says, listen, he says, you got a choice to make here. He says, we're going into this new land, and already some people have been picking up the bad habits. They've been picking up the habits of, in this new land, there was idolatry, there was false religion, there was false thinking, there was horrible things, there was the god of Molech. By the way, that's what abortion is. It's a sacrifice to the god of Molech. That's what happens when they go in there and they take a little baby and they kill that baby. It's a sacrifice to the demon god Molech. That's what I believe, and you can disagree with me, and that's okay. And in this country and in America, there have been millions of sacrifices made to false gods because of abortion alone. Joshua, he said, listen, we're getting into this place. There's all these people. They got all these weird ways. Listen to this. And some of you have already, we've only been across Jordan for a few years now, but already you've been taking on properties that you didn't buy. You've taken on houses and vineyards that you didn't grow. Listen, and he says, already you've started to let the world seep into the church, so to speak, if I can call it the church, Israel. Already their ways and their thinking and their idols have already been sinking in to here. And he says, listen, I want to make a stand today and I want to challenge you. And I want to say this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And here's the tribe of Levi. What was the name of the place? Shechem. I think in the Bible, location, location, location is always very interesting when God does something, because here is the same place, or the name of the same place, after where the curse came. The curse came because Levi, or great-great-granddaddy Levi, he went in his hot-headed youth, and he went against his father's word, and he slaughtered this young man, and he slaughtered his friends. And it brought a curse on him, and here he is. There's the tribe standing there at a place called Shechem, the same as the name as that boy that they killed. And here is an opportunity for Levi. He says, he takes the challenge to Levi as well as all the tribes of Israel. And he says, choose this day whom you will serve. And do you think that Levi, the house of Levi, think that they noticed that it was a Shechem? I think that they would say, we better say yes to God. Because we don't want to go back on the curse. We want to go forward with the blessing. We don't want to go back to the way things were. We want to go forward with Almighty God. We don't want to go back to the darkness of our past and the darkness of our sin and the darkness of our crimes against God. We want to go forward with what God has for us in store for us because we want to make a stand for the Lord. We took a stand for the Lord a number of years ago and God blessed us. Why would we go back on it now? We want to keep on going forward now. We don't want the idols of this world. We don't want the thoughts of this world. We don't want the ideas of this world to creep in. We don't want the things of this world to take away the blessing because we were a cursed people, but God turned it around and turned us into a blessed people. Why would we cash that away? Why would we take that to the pawn shop? Why would we get rid of that now? At Shechem. The place where he decides again. Friends, I want you to think today as we go into communion time. I guess you'd get my Bible. As we go into communion this morning. Pastor Dan, can you gather me around here somewhere? Brother Vanderwerf, would you come, Mr. Chairman? God has so many blessings for his church. And all you got to do is take a stand for God. He's going to bless you. It won't be easy. But if you stand for nothing, you will fall for everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, we want to apply these principles of the blessings of Israel onto the church and onto our own lives. Lord, we know that we have failed you. We have failed ourselves. We have failed our neighbor. We have failed others in the past. We have done things that we ought not to have done. But Lord, you can take those times of cursing. And because of your sacrifice for our sins, because of the great price paid at Calvary, Lord, you can turn it around and you can make it a blessing. We don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. But it is amazing when you do it. Lord, we don't understand your ways. Your ways are higher than our ways. Lord, we do not come presumptuously to your table. We do not come as ones who know it all. But we come to the one who knows all. To the omnipotent and the omniscient God. Sovereign Lord of the universe. And we say, Lord, forgive us. And turn these things around to be blessings in our lives. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, if there's an area where we can make a stand for you, that, Lord, you would give us the courage. And, Lord, it doesn't have to be dramatic. I understand, Lord, I understand that it doesn't have to chain ourselves to an abortion clinic or we don't have to do anything like that. But just in the simple things of our lives, to take a stand for you, to take a risk. And I know, Lord, you will make a blessing. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, and prepare our hearts this day for thy table, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace and mercy and peace of God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of you, granting grace and wisdom in a troublesome day, that you might be light and victory in a world of darkness. Go in peace. Amen.